What's going on, everyone? What's happening? It is Jay Scott, and it is the Hook Rocks, the ultimate rock community podcast. Thanks again for tuning in. We always do appreciate it. We always appreciate anytime you can leave us a review. We appreciate all your feedback, and thank you again for stopping by. We are part of the Pantheon Podcast Network, a great network of music-related podcasts, over 100 different music-related podcasts on their platform, including the official Metallica podcast, the Metallica Report. So check that out and more. Something for everyone's taste of music. I'm sure you will all enjoy it once you dive in. You can find them at Pantheon Pods on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, and their website, pantheonpodcast.com. You can also find The Hook Rocks on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at The Hook Rocks. So please check out that and give us a follow and enjoy our content on those platforms. And don't forget to set your app to automatic download so you get the latest episodes right to your phone. We just did some amazing episodes. We welcome Don Jameson, former host of That Metal Show and current host of That Rocks with Eddie Trunk. We did the 10 Commandments for rock fans. So check that out. We dove into what rock fans need to abide by moving forward. There's some laws and some rules that Heavy Metal Moses gave both of us, and we spoke through that the other night. So check that out. Stephen Piercy from Rat was just on the show. We're celebrating the 40th anniversary. He just got picked up by Blabbermouth. So great news for our podcast and for Stephen to get that article out about our interview. So please check that out as well. And some other guests too over the last month: Joe Satriani, Jeff Pilson, Starbenders, The Gems, Todd Dammit Kearns, Tuck Smith, you name it, they've been on it. So thank you again for all the listens and all the guests that have been on. And we've got a great new band on today's New Music Spotlight. As you know, we do a lot of promoting of the new wave of rock that is out there. Incredible band, and had a chance to check out their album this week that's going to be coming out in April. That album is called The Body Electric, and my guest is Cassandra Carson from Paralandra. What's going on?
Hello. Thanks for saying my name right. It is Cassandra Carson.
Doing great. How do people screw that up?
Oh, you know, I get the Cassandras and whatnot. It's just not right. You can't call me Cassie. It's Cassandra.
Yeah, Cassie, you need to be a little bit more on a personal level if you go that route.
I won't even let my family call me Cassie.
So again, thank you for doing this. Like I said, I had a chance to check out the album earlier this week. Was absolutely blown away, and I'm excited for rock fans to be able to check it out in a little over a month. They'll be able to do it coinciding with the beginning of baseball season. So hey, two great things happening at once. But I want to have you on because I want to talk to you about you and the band and what's been going on with you guys. And we always start the same way every time we have a first-time guest on the show. And that is really what we're all about. Just like every great rock song has a hook that pulls you in, every rock fan has a moment, whether it's a song, an album, a band, or performance that hooked them on rock and roll. What was it for you?
The defining moment for me, like, was when I was about 13 years old. So I grew up watching my dad play in bands my whole life, like whether it be cover bands or, you know, at church and the worship team or whatever. And he's just an insane player. So I've always looked up to him and been like, oh my gosh, that's so freaking cool. I want to do that. So anyways, I got my first guitar for my 11th birthday, and I ended up learning the song Walk This Way by Aerosmith, and I got to join his band at the time at one of their gigs and play that with them, and it was like just exhilarating, so much fun, loved it. And then a couple years later, I learned how to play Hotel California. I mean, my dad did like all of the dual guitar parts throughout the whole song, and I ended up playing like the whole outro solo. And anyways, it was like a crazy packed crowd. It was like a Cinco de Mayo party. And anyway, it was just like one of the coolest moments ever. I really felt like a rock star. Like, so ever since then, I have just been hooked. Like, I haven't been able to put down the guitar. I haven't put away the dream. I'm still chasing it. So it must have really been one of those kind of moments.
It's amazing you say that, because I mentioned the episode I just did with Don Jameson, the 10 Commandments of rock and roll rock fans. And the first one we did was parents should take their kids to rock concerts.
Yes.
There really is nothing like it for them. I mean, It's such an experience. I took my son when he was 5 to his first rock concert. And we drove from Chicago all the way down to Cincinnati, Newport, Kentucky area, right around the Ohio River. And it changed his life. Like, he just like gravitated towards music, because as parents, you know, you always say, oh, my kids are in his phone. You know, they're buried in their phone. They're always on that phone, but you know, all this stuff. And they're right. But if you don't give them an alternative,
right,
they'll keep doing that. So whether it's sports or whether it's music, when you take your kid to a rock show and they see people singing along and they see people on there playing instruments and they see this amazing synergy and energy that exist, how can they not love that stuff?
Seriously, it is truly incredible, you know, what 4 people can create just, you know, by knowing the songs and playing in synchrony together. You know, it's truly incredible. It's magical, you know? So to be able to experience that at a young age, I feel like was definitely formative for me. It's like, oh my gosh, like everybody is playing something different, but together, and somehow it's creating this incredible song and, you know, this soundscape or whatever. And, you know, I'm very melody driven. So I'm always like hearing the melodies of each instrument, like, oh, that's a cool part. Oh, that's a cool part. But I always loved guitar, just mainly because of my dad, I think. But yeah, very inspiring. I don't know. Maybe I would have found music anyways if it wasn't for him, but that was very instrumental, no pun intended, in my life.
It's also so foreign to a young kid because everything is so, at least these days, very technology-based, right? Everything is at your fingertips. Everything is there for you immediately. And when you go to a show, like, you have to watch this event for the hour to 2 hours that it exists, and it's constantly changing and evolving. It moves at the pace of life. There's no images or anything flashing at you constantly. It's such a, you know, for us, it's not crazy because we've experienced it. But for a young kid, it's like, wait, what is going on? Like, what is this thing that exists here that I've never seen before? And it's so different that that's an attraction for them in itself.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and especially like, you know, we're a band that we're known for our very high energy performance when we're on stage. So, I mean, there's entertainment to look at. We're jumping all over the place. Like, you know, there's more than just the music, which that's obviously, you know, the reason that you're there. But to see a bunch of people up there, like having a blast while they're creating these sounds and these songs and performing them live for you, like, that is truly amazing.
Yeah, it is. And it's such a, with my son, we've had that bond. He's 19 now. So for, you know, 14 years, we've had that bond of music because of that event that I took him to, that concert. And it was a small venue. It wasn't like a big, huge to do, which I think was even more of an impact for him because he was so close to the stage and there wasn't, you know, we weren't in the nosebleed seats or anything like that. So I always say, too, that if you expose your kid to music at a very early age, more than likely they will pick up an instrument.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, how could you not? Like, I don't know, just coming from, you know, another person who was a child that saw a bunch of amazing musicians perform, like, it just looked like so much fun. Like, how could you not want to be part of that? But there's like, I love our fans because we have a lot of moms and, you know, a lot of couples that bring their kids to our shows, you know, when they're all ages. And there is nothing more heartwarming than seeing like a little girl with this giant bow in her hair front row, like rocking out. I mean, just, it's the best thing in the world. It's like so full circle. I feel like I'm carrying the torch in some way.
And that is a fan for life, right? I mean, that is a music fan, a fan of your band for life, because as they grow, they're going to stay connected with the music because of that moment at such an early age. It's such an impressionable thing, you know. And back to like the technology, my son practices his guitar. He'll practice for hours. And I don't want to tell him to turn it off, because if I tell him to turn it off, he's going to go on his phone. So I'd rather hear that noise and that, you know, riff that he's trying to learn or whatever, because I know he's working at it And I can also see the evolution of him getting better because of the time he's putting into it. And here's the other thing. Parents who are hesitant to bring their kids to a rock concert, they will see way more worse things on their phone than they will at a rock concert.
That is for sure. I mean, rock concerts can get wild, as we all know, but the internet has far worse things to offer.
Yes, it does. So you guys are on the cusp of releasing your new album, The Body Electric.
Yes.
How was the creative process and how was this journey with this new music?
So The Body Electric is kind of a culmination of songs from the very beginning of this band, all the way up to like right before we went into the studio. All of our releases so far have just kind of been like, you know, picking a name out of the hat, essentially, because we're constantly writing, we're constantly refining and coming up with ideas and stuff. So like some of the songs that are on The Body Electric were considered for Street Magic, for example, or, you know, whatever. But anyway, all that to say, I feel like this album is really cool because it kind of follows the entire span of this band. Like you've got songs in there that we wrote in 2012, 2013. We've got songs that we wrote in 2015, 2017. Songs that we wrote the month leading up to actually going into the studio. So I feel like it's a really like representative album of who we are and who we've become after all of these years.
You mentioned, you know, the span of time with the songs on this album, and there's always the evolution of a band and an artist too, as well. How do you keep up with that evolution with something that was from the past?
You know, it kind of comes in cycles. Like, there's a lot of songs on this album that we've been performing live for years and years and years that our hometown fans, they know, but they've never gotten a physical copy of them. So like, I feel like it's finally like, it's about time, you know, for some people, but, the album itself has got like so much to offer for really any listener. You know, there's people who were familiar with the band that have been just like waiting to hear these songs finally come out. And then also creating new stuff, for the people that already know a bunch of the songs. And obviously everything's new for people who haven't heard of us, but, we don't stop. Like we tour all year. We are constantly playing live. We practice twice a week, every week, if we're home, and we have been doing that for 10 years. I mean, we never stop refining our craft. And truly, like, even after we leave the studio, we're still refining the songs. Like, we can't stop, like, changing and adjusting. And, wouldn't it be cool if we did this here? Like, oh, yeah, that's sick, you know? So, like, we're always evolving. I feel like we're always doing something a little bit different. And also it just kind of makes the live shows more fun because you're not going to get the CD at the live show. You're going to get four people playing their instruments to the best of their capabilities and maybe playing the songs a little bit different than they were recorded or maybe exactly how they were recorded. Just depends on how we're feeling that day.
That's so true. I always love when there's a live interpretation of the studio music. And I don't want to hear how it sounds exactly like the album. I want to hear a little bit different, a little bit of more, maybe even a sense of sloppiness. I mean, sloppiness is cool, you know, if it's done right.
Yeah.
Or a little bit of improvisation, you know, I mean, that can all work. And I think that's the last thing I want as a rock and roll fan who's gone to more concerts than I can count. I don't want to hear. If I want to listen to the album, I'll go listen to the album. I want to hear the live interpretation, you know?
Absolutely. I'm the same way.
As far as the writing process, are you the principal lyricist?
It kind of goes between my dad and I. And for those of you that don't know, my dad is our guitar player. And I play guitar too. We do a lot of back and forth, you know, solos and stuff. It's pretty fun. But yeah, you know, like, I'll start with a nugget of an idea. My dad will start with a nugget of an idea, normally refine it to whatever extent, and then bring it to the band. And then everybody kind of like puts their little spin on it and we bring it, you know, to life and form it into a Paralandra song. But honestly, I would say it's like 50-50 split. Like a lot of the songs I write in their entirety lyrically, and a lot of the songs he does. There's a few songs where I write the chorus, he writes the verses. It's very, very collaborative in every sense.
What is your voice when you're trying to write lyrics? Like, what's your perspective?
I sing ditties in my head a lot. I don't know if there's other people that do that as well, but if you kind of like, I'll hear a phrase or something that like just kind of rings in my head. And so I start singing the phrase, or like something's really bothered me. And, you know, there's words of anger or like injustice that are within me. And so I kind of start like expressing those outwardly, and then I stumble upon a melody, and then, you know, just kind of like keep working it from there. But I mean, when I write songs, it's always very organic. Like, it's really hard to just sit down and be like, okay, I'm going to write a great song right now, strum, you know, like, it normally comes from just like singing to myself and coming up with melodies and things that I think would be catchy and pretty, you know, like, I don't know. I just try to come up with stuff that I would enjoy hearing.
Do you ever dive into something personal?
Oh, always. I mean, pretty much every single song is, you know, from an account of some kind of personal experience. And, you know, some of them, like, if you're familiar with our last release, Street Magic, there's a song called Gypsy Rose. And that one was more conceptual. It wasn't about a personal, well, it kind of was a little bit about a personal experience, but it was also about the girl herself, Gypsy Rose Blanchard, which a lot of people know who that is now. But she was living here in Springfield, Missouri, where we're from, when all the craziness went down. So it's a little more near and dear to my heart than everybody in America. But pretty much, you know, I wrote the song about getting out of a toxic relationship and knowing that it's okay to walk away and you don't have to stay there. And there's always going to be people there to help you. But, you know, I stumble across the Gypsy Rose Blanchard documentary and I'm like, there's a girl that's in a toxic relationship that needs to get out. And, you know, that really inspired the whole rest of the songwriting. Probably like 80% of the rest of the song was inspired by her and her story. So definitely all of our songs come from real life experiences. We're always trying to spread a positive message and, you know, definitely want the music to be really cool as well. But, you know, for overall, for there to be a positivity, and an overall, you know, upward look, I guess, with our music and lyrics.
How do you like weave into that world of reflection and, you know, personal experience, something that's personal to you, and have the output, you know, have the lyrics? Because sometimes personal experiences, it can be difficult to write about too as well. And that's always a challenge for the writer. Sometimes it's too soon to write. Sometimes writing can be used as a form of therapy. How do you determine and how do you start that process?
Yeah. I mean, the fact that you use the word therapy is spot on. I feel like writing is very much therapeutic for me. Because I'm literally just expressing emotions that are within me that I cannot harbor. I can't hold on to them. I have to release them, you know, and I feel so much better whenever I do that. And, you know, in turn, you know, everybody else is a human being too. So these personal experiences and feelings and these emotions very much resonate with other people because, you know, we all go through those times. So what I've found is the more honest that I am and the more open and vulnerable that I am with my lyrics, the better response I'm probably going to get. And so I try to allow myself to just let it flow. And it's really easy to get in your head and to be like, oh, well, that's stupid. Oh, that line's cheesy. Oh, like I'm throwing that idea away or whatever. It's so easy to get down on yourself. But to just allow myself to just let it flow, you know, whether I use it or not, just get the words out, get the ideas out, write it down, sing it into the voice memo, you know, whatever. But yeah, I guess that's how I get in the space. I'm already in the headspace and I'm just kind of trying to excise everything.
That's the amazing thing for a music fan, like myself, is, you know, we can't always describe our feelings, right? Sometimes it's very difficult for people to vocalize what's happening, but they can always find a song that gives them that perspective. And I think at the moment, last month I had Scott Holiday from Rival Sons on, and I'm a big Rival Sons fan. And I went to a show, and there was this guy who was so like into the show, like more than like most people are in the show. This guy was bringing the passion, and they got to the song Jordan, which is about loss. And this guy like stopped, you know, dancing around and everything. And in the middle of the song, he starts crying and he yells out, "This song reminds me of my mother." And I'm like, wow, that this song, like the impact that I saw that guy have, because I only think of my own impact. I don't think about how things impact others. But to see that another person at the show have a completely different perspective on it was very, I appreciated just how much a song can connect with somebody.
Yeah, actually, it's funny you mentioned that, because this past weekend we actually played two birthday parties, two private shows, and it was a blast. And at both of them, the birthday boy asked me if we would play our ballad that we just released in February, Love of My Life, off the Body Electric. And, you know, I don't expect guys to be into the ballads at all. It is very much like a rock ballad, but, you know, still. But, you know, everybody's response to that song has been like, oh my gosh, I feel like, you know, you wrote that for me to give to my wife, or like, you know, just people are very connected with it. And Love of My Life is a song that I just wrote as an anniversary present for my boyfriend back in 2020 or somewhere around there. I never, ever intended on releasing it publicly. It was just a very real expression of, you know, how I felt that I wanted to give to him as a present. And anyways, now all these years later, we release it and people are like, oh, my heart, like, I can't believe you've been holding on to this, like, for this so long. But yeah, people are really connecting with it. And even last night, the same deal, the birthday boy asked me if I would play Love of My Life for him and his girlfriend, and they're crying during it. And I'm just like, how could this song have such an impact on people? I mean, it really was just a little gift, you know, that was the reason I created it. But
yeah, you know, that's amazing. It's a beautiful song. Love of My Life is a beautiful song.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And, but I love when I have conversations with people about their connection to a song or connection to music, because it is so personal. Like, And if you don't get it, you don't get it. But that person found that connection. I after my divorce, gosh, when did I get divorced? 17 years ago, I was at a Butch Walker show, and he just released the album Sycamore Meadows. And there's songs in there about a relationship failing. There's like three or four songs, and he's playing them. And I had not heard the songs on the album yet. And I'm in this like concert, and he's playing these songs. I'm like, wait a minute, like, did he write this for me? Because this is exactly what I'm going through and exactly how I felt. And it's just amazing. Like I said, you find a song that can speak for you if you can't vocalize it and describe it yourself. And that's such a powerful thing, a powerful tool of the art.
Yeah, it's weird to think about. But yeah, it's pretty cool. It's a blessing that, you know, I'm able to express my ideas in a way that people can relate to and understand, and, you know, maybe provide a voice for somebody that doesn't really know how to say what they're feeling. So it is an honorable spot to be in.
Absolutely. As far as this album goes, you mentioned, you know, playing in Springfield, Missouri, and the local shows that you do. It looks to me, correct me if I'm wrong, that you guys are really ready to venture out, you know, in full force and really promote this album. Am I correct in saying that? And if I am, how does that feel for you guys?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, like I was saying before, we just never stop playing. We are always performing, always on the road. And I look forward to even more of that when we release this album. I love staying busy. We love being on the road. We love playing shows. And we've already got some awesome shows lined up for this year. We're going to be playing with Lita Ford a couple times, once in Vegas, once up in Oregon, which we've never been to Oregon before. So new territory. But yeah, and we're just going to continue, you know, booking our own shows along the way. We are very much a DIY grassroots band. We do a lot of the behind the scenes stuff on our own, and we definitely have an awesome team of people that help us out. But, you know, this is a self-run business for sure. So we're going to continue keeping ourselves busy. And, you know, the longer that people continue to request us to come to their city, we're just going to keep on coming because we want to. And, you know, it's fun. So you just hope that each time, you know, somebody brings an extra friend maybe next time. And, you know, we keep building from there.
It is so important. I mean, I love the new bands. In my opinion, the new wave of music, new wave of rock music is just as good and great as the classic wave of rock music. I think people, if they don't hear it, which is an unfortunate thing for rock music, it's hard to find, and it's, you got to really search for it. They connect that with it not being good because it's not prevalent. It's not out there. And I always cite examples of like, well, this was really popular. Do you want to call that good? I won't mention names, but the point being is just because it's not heard doesn't mean it's bad. And there's so many great bands like you guys and others that are doing it themselves, that really have the passion, that are really doing the grind, that as a rock fan, you have to appreciate that. You really do, because they are, you guys, and I say they as a community, are doing it for pure love. I mean, it really is a testament to what you guys go through and what you guys have to do. It's not just about writing music anymore. It's about formulating a plan to get your music out and connect with fans and grow your audience.
Absolutely.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus meal plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
Absolutely. And I mean, even to take it a step further, like just to prove that you are not confined to a 9-to-5 job, you can get out of that. You can do whatever you want with your life. And so I just, you know, view myself as like a living proof of do what you want, do what makes you happy. You will find a way to make money. You will find a way if you are driven enough and it truly is something that you want to do with your life. You know, I've done the 9-to-5 job. I've, you know, done the 40 plus hours a week thing for many, many years, and it did not make me happy. In fact, it made me miserable. And now I'm making less money, but I'm doing what I love. I'm traveling. I'm playing music. I'm writing music. And 1,000,000% I would choose that every single day over having a steady job. Like, that's probably not a good thing to say, but like, it's just the truth. And, you know, I wish that I would have had more, well, not me particularly, because I already have this point of view, but I wish that other people would have a spokesperson like that, that would say, you know, don't stress so hard on like working through your 20s, enjoy your 20s, enjoy them. Like, enjoy your whole life. That's the whole point of it. Like, we're here. So, yeah, you know, absolutely. Anyway,
no. How do you, now that this album is done and completed, how would you define the band?
Like, stylistically or musically, or
stylistically, musically, what you feel like, how would you define what the band is all about?
Well, okay. Paralandra is a melodic hard rock band that loves dual guitar solos and riffs. And we also love high energy, just having fun. We love to have a blast. We don't take life too seriously, but we also love to create really fun and unique music. And we love spreading love and positivity and acceptance and creating a space where people can feel like they can be themselves. Because that's how we feel when we're on stage. We feel like we're being ourselves and having the most fun of our lives. And that's what I want to spread to everybody. So, yeah, a positive hard rock band, I guess, would be the best way to describe Paralantra.
And if you're a big fan of Tug of Wars, your latest video definitely captures the essence of a tug of war.
Oh my gosh. That's like literally the best way to describe Paralandra is watch our music videos. Like, when I say we don't take ourselves too seriously, you get to see me get tugged into a mud pit and face splattered. So, yeah, we go all out with our music videos. So yeah, if you need any entertainment, go to YouTube, look up Paralandra, plenty of entertainment.
What's it like for you being in a band with your dad, who's also the catalyst for your passion in music?
It's the best. I mean, like, I've been pretty much best friends with my dad my whole life. We're very similar people, very similar interests. It's kind of funny because I feel like it's always opposite with the kids. I've got a younger brother and he identifies, I feel like, more with my mom, and I more with my dad. But yeah, anyways, so, you know, I've just always loved what my dad did and thought he was amazing and wanted to be just like that and wanted to be the best me I could be. I don't know. Like, we're just best friends and we love traveling together and hanging out together, and writing music was very organic for us. Like, it was just something that we kind of started doing. Like, you know, I started playing guitar, then kind of started just writing songs on my own, and I refused to sing in front of anybody until I was like 18 years old. Just would not do it. Like, embarrassed, knew I could sing, but just did not want to share that with anybody. But anyways, when I was like, I would say 13 or 14, I brought my first couple song ideas to my dad. I was like, well, just let me know what you think. It's probably stupid. But he was like, oh no, that's really good. And like, he would help me, like, what if he went to this chord and took the song in this direction? And I'd be like, whoa, like, that's a really cool idea. And so it was very organic. And, you know, once I turned, I guess I was around 18 or 19, we were like, why don't we just play a show? Like, we have all these songs that we've written over the years. Like, let's just see what happens if we try to play them live. And thus was the birth of Paralandra. We just never stopped booking shows. Like, that's literally it.
That's got to be amazing for him too, because he's seen you from the beginning grow into the artist that you are now. And for you to kind of stay connected with the reason why you got up on stage and why you're performing, that's such a cool dynamic and a unique dynamic in rock music, because it's so like, You know, when you're in a band and it's four members that are connected by the music and nothing else, they just see you from that moment on, right? They don't see the beginning, the process that it took to get to where you're at. And to have someone that you're playing with in a band, your dad, to see that and appreciate that, that's got to be a special thing for both of you guys to kind of enjoy and to kind of just have as a in a relationship.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. We definitely enjoy it. And You know, all those years that I spent in the crowd watching him perform and watching him play and just like wishing I was up there with him, you know, like finally here it is. So it's really cool. I don't think my dad ever like was trying to get me to play guitar. He was never trying to get me to write music or get me to join his band. Like, it was always just like, I think that I want to be in a band with my dad. That's my dream. And that was my dream since middle school. And anyway, just kind of made it happen. It eventually happened. So I don't know, I guess manifest, you know.
What do you think this album says about the band that's about to come out?
I mean, kind of like I was mentioning earlier, like the songs are really from so many different time periods of the band. I feel like as a whole, it's a very great, like eclectic way to, I guess what's the word, but to just really symbolize the band. It's very dynamic. There's a lot of different, sounds that you're going to hear on the album, lots of different feels. I feel like no two songs are really like very similar. But in a good way, you know, like you don't want to have a bunch of songs that sound like the same thing, but, you know, it's a good mix of, you know, the high energy. You get some of that, like Alter Bridge influence from me. I really love Alter Bridge, the big, like majestic, like giant sound that they have. And we were working with Elvis Basquette, on this recent album, which also did Alter Bridge. So he really helped us hone in that sound that I just have like been envisioning from the beginning. But upon these songs that we have been, you know, writing over so many years. So it's really cool to like kind of hear those through that filter. I don't know, but yeah, I really like the album. It's a good representation of Paralandra, I think.
It's also gotta be pretty cool for you that you mentioned the song go back as far as, you know, 10 plus years in the creative process. You know, when you listen, because you know that, and because you can see the progression, it's almost like each song is more or less like a diary entry.
Yeah, actually, that's a great way to put it. Yes, very much so.
And that's got to be interesting too as an artist, because you could kind of see the progression all at once. Like, I love when a band evolves throughout an album from first song to last song. Like, there's an evolution in the sound, which is really cool. But to have you guys evolve, you know, and put the songs that have been part of your evolution on, that's really cool too. That's really special.
Yeah. And like super special for the Paralandra fans back home that have been hearing these songs live for so many years and finally can actually listen to them, like not a bootleg version from one of our live shows, you know? So
you mentioned Alter Bridge. What vocal influences? 'Cause you've got such a powerful voice.
Well, thank you.
Who do you regard as being a part of you influentially?
I mean, obviously, yeah, Miles Kennedy for sure. As of recently, Dino Jelusic just blew my mind when I discovered him. Oh my gosh, very, very inspirational. And then besides that, I mean, I really loved Kelly Clarkson the first year of American Idol. Like, my family used to record it on VHS because we had church on Wednesday nights, but we would come home and watch our taped American Idol. And I was always a big fan of Kelly Clarkson. But I was always a lot more guitar influenced, like big fan of Steve Vai and Eddie Van Halen and, you know, just Nuno Betancourt, like just these monsters, I feel like. And then vocally, that always just came secondhand. It was just like, oh, I have to sing. Ugh, like, whatever. But now I've grown into it. I really enjoy it now. But that was never really my forethought. You know what I mean?
I tell you, that Kelly Clarkson song, Since You've Been Gone, is...
Right? It's a banger.
I mean, talk about power, like, in terms of your voice. I mean, my God. And I know rock fans are very kind of, you know, uppity sometimes. But there's no way you cannot appreciate that woman's voice in that song. It is absolutely unbelievable.
Dude, she belts a high G. Like, are you kidding me? we covered that song a few times and I was like, this girl's insane. We're tuning down a half step. I'm not doing this. But actually, Dakota, our drummer, like he does all of our soprano vocals. Like he's pretty much a third above me the entire show. I don't know how he does it, but we start like, I'll hand off the really, really high parts to him and let him shine. And that always gets the crowd super excited. They're like, what? Who's singing that? And then they realize it's the 6'3" giant drummer. Like, what the heck? So anyway, it's pretty fun.
So he's like the Michael Anthony of Parlor.
Yes. Yes. He can hit the high C all night long.
Amazing. I mean, just, yeah, different types of voices. And there's so many great vocalists out now. So many great, you know, singers out now, like yourself, like Danny from The Warning and Lizzie Hale has a great voice, and so many powerful voices that are out there that it's, you know, for me being a fan as long as I have, we never had back then like the amount of female artists in rock and roll. You had your Hearts and you had your Pat Benatars and artists like that, but nothing like it is now. And I think it's so cool. And I think it's so awesome that happens.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, it used to be very niche. It was like female fronted rock and that was the genre. But it's like, no, there are so many different types of vocalists who are females, like singing all kinds of genres all over the place. I mean, yeah, maybe it's hard rock, but maybe it's like literally screaming. Maybe it's like deathcore. Like, you don't know, but there are so many women out there just literally killing it and, you know, singing and using these powerful vocal techniques that I feel like are so much more accessible now that we have like YouTube with Melissa Cross and these incredible vocal coaches that can teach you the proper way to sing these ways and to scream. And so I don't know. I feel like it's much more accessible for people to get that information of how to sing properly. And, you know, maybe that information just wasn't really available for people back then. And maybe that's what stops them from trying to do what they wanted to do. I don't know, but it's cool that, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, it's cool that now it is available and that, you know, you can pretty much do whatever you want out there.
It's really interesting too, because when you look at those vocalists from like the 70s, you know, your Robert Plants, your Freddie Mercury's, all these, especially Plant, so to speak, because he really didn't have maybe the greatest technique. He just sang. And I mean, there's like live videos of him hitting these notes, and it was harder to maintain your vocal cords back then because you didn't realize like your breathing and all that stuff was really impacting your voice. But back, you know, in their prime, you know, guys like that, I mean, it was like, holy cow, like this, I mean, where is this coming from? You know, and they paid for it later. But I think now with the approaches, like you said, I think it's a lot more easy to manage your voice versus, you know, 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I am the type of singer that I don't really like to sing clean a lot. I like to use a lot of that vocal fry. And it's just because of, you know, like how I want it to sound within the music. Sometimes it just calls for a more harsh vocal. But, you know, growing up in this band, like I've kind of had to refine my own techniques over the years because I want to achieve a certain sound, but maybe I wasn't doing right for the first however many years. And that's why I kept blowing my voice out. And, you know, you just kind of develop and you learn, you know, what works for you and how to maintain that night after night after night. So,
yeah, absolutely. So, you know, the album out beginning of April, you guys are going to be hitting the road. What's next? Like, what's in the immediate future for you guys? I know you mentioned Lita Ford, but what else is going on?
Yes. So we'll just be pretty much on the road all summer. We're still booking dates as of right now. We're going to be doing obviously a lot of Midwest stuff. Since we're from Springfield, Missouri, we're doing a lot of Missouri, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Kansas, you know, surrounding areas like that. But we fully plan on making it up to the Northeast this year. We haven't been in about a year now. So definitely trying to get back up there this summer. We'll obviously be out west with Lita. We're going to be doing some more shows tacked on with those as well. And, you know, just staying busy. Yeah.
What about
Chicago? Still writing songs. Chicago. Ooh, I know that we are playing at Bratfest in May in Madison.
Yeah.
So I believe we're trying to get a Chicago date leading up to that. So that is in the plans. I don't know if we have anything booked right now, but that is a target that we're trying to get right now.
Well, I mean, if you're doing it yourself, Chicago has so many venues, like not just in Chicago, but outside. Like you can roll out of bed and be at a venue, basically.
There's
so many places to play in Chicago. So like literally, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine. I'm like, how many venues are in the Chicagoland area? Not just in the city, but, and there's like almost probably 36 that are small to mid-level places to play. So Chicago has a very vibrant music scene. A lot of it is cover bands, but there's a lot of original music too as well.
Nice. Honestly, the cover bands, they're fun to play with. They bring the crowd, and that's fine with me. I will play for their crowd.
Hey,
we'll throw in Still of the Night, make everybody happy, and call it good.
And then you got Bratfest. So I'm telling you, just go there hungry because there's going to be brats a mile long, basically.
Oh, so I've heard. I'm very excited. This will be my first Bratfest. So I'm excited for my first experience.
Well, Cassandra, it's been a blast talking with you. Can't wait for the album to be released so the masses can hear it. But it's a fantastic record, an awesome record. And thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Thanks for spreading the word.
Absolutely. That is Cassandra from the band Paralandra. They'll get their new album, The Body Electric, on April 4th. So get that. It'll be available everywhere. And all the links to the band will be in the show notes. So as you're listening, when you're done, just click on a link and you go to their social media and their website and you can find all the information there. So thanks again to Cassandra. I am Jay Scott. This has been another episode of The Hook Rocks. Take care of each other, stay safe, and we will talk soon. Thank you.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett. Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's fantasypoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. Fantasypoints.com. Code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.